How many believe Jesus is Lord?
Yes.
Praise God. Jesus is alive.
Yes.
The power of God is alive.
Yes.
The gifts of the Spirit are alive.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is alive. The anointing is alive.
Yes.
Amen. The Word of God is alive.
Yes.
We don't have a dead God.
Amen.
I feel sorry for some of our friends that believe everything has passed away. To hear them talk, sometimes you'd think God died. When the last apostle died, so did God. And we have this book, and that's it. And we're just going to fight about that. But no, we have a living Lord.
Yes.
Praise God. And I am excited to be able to speak and share with you. And I'm excited, especially because what I'm going to share with you is something that God has been stirring in my own life in the past few weeks. And I love to share things that are bubbling at the moment. And so anyway, we'll see how this goes. I had one lady comment on YouTube that one of my messages that she likes me, but she doesn't like it when I yell. And so if you're watching, I'm preparing you, okay? I'm not sure how intense this is gonna get, but I am wound up. I'm excited about the Word of God. So I want to take you to a scripture that jumped out to me that kind of got the ball rolling in this subject in Acts 18, verse 9. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. Acts 18, verse 9 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent." Now I know this is talking about him preaching the gospel in different difficult places. But that command, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, triggered something in me that is still bubbling and still going, and we'll see where it goes here. But there is something that has been in my life a tendency to not be afraid, but to get silent and to begin to lose some of the fire. And to begin to be more inward and more contemplative and more meditative and that kind of thing, which there is nothing wrong with. But there comes a time when you've got to make a stand, you've got to stand up, you've got to start speaking some things. Whether we're talking about preaching the gospel or just enforcing the spiritual will of God in your life and in your environment, it's going to take some words. It's going to take not just you thinking about it, but you speaking the Word of God out loud. And when we're talking about our health, our physical well-being, I have discovered that words have power.
Yeah.
And authority has power. And we have been given both. And we are commissioned to use our authority and our words to make things happen. But we've got to be convinced. And sometimes we tend to drift back, or I'll speak for myself, I have drifted back from being convinced of some things. And then I get stirred, and then I walk in it for a while, and then I drift back. Does that relate to anybody? And then I get stirred, and I stand up and walk in it, and then I might drift back. Well, I'm stirred right now, all right? And I'm committed to not drifting. I'm not going to be silent anymore about some things going on in my life. And, you know, we go through seasons. And I am speaking the Word of God. So that's where we're going with this. And I want to start by just building a case for the power of words. God is a word God. When he began creation, and he saw everything was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." He didn't think about it. I've had a guy recently dialoguing with me, and he says, "I don't think words are necessary. You just have to believe it in your heart." Well, I hope he's watching. Because God didn't just think it in his heart. God spoke, "Let there be light." And there is a power there in the release of words that are really the manifestation of the faith and the vision that God had. This is what I want. This is how I get it. I'm going to speak what I want, what I see in my heart. God is a faith God, which therefore means God is a word God. And what he wants, he declares. What he wants, he declares. That's the title of this, if you need a title, is Declare Your Faith. Declare Your Faith. What you believe is good, but what you believe and declare is better.
Yeah.
We want to move from just doctrinal comfort into active, proactive enforcing of the will of God in our lives. And you can sit and meditate and think, and I do a lot. And you can get great revelation, and I do a lot. But until you stand up and begin to declare some things, I'm going to describe in a minute what's going on if you don't. But there is much more power in what you declare than in what you just think about. In fact, you will be more dedicated to what you say than to what you think about. When you hear yourself declare something, it becomes more real, more alive inside of you, and you find yourself more apt to follow what you've said than what you've just thought about, because you can quickly forget what you thought about. Yes. But what you've said is out there. Yeah. All right? This is why this is so important. So God is a word God. In Romans 4:17, boy, my voice sounds good today. This sounds powerful. This. Sometimes I come in here and it's not that powerful. So I don't know if it's that microphone or me, but I'm happy. Anyway, Romans 4:17 says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God speaks what he carries in his heart, his desire, his will, his purpose. And how did he bring it from the invisible to the visible? He declared it. He spoke it. And God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. God speaks. And he has made us in his image. We are word creatures. We are created to hear, to believe, and to speak. That's very fundamental, very basic, but that's where it's at, is that we have been created to walk and talk with God, to hear him, and then to declare and to reign over this world with words. Before sin came in, that's the way it was going to be. Adam and Eve were going to rule with words. Now, we've got sin in the way and all kinds of stuff, but we've been redeemed. We're out of the darkness back in the light, and we have something that we can do to change the environment of our lives, change our health, change our destinies, if we would learn to speak. Psalm 33, verse 9 says, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's the power of God's word. Now you say, well, yeah, that's God. Well, who lives in you? We need to start getting identified with the right thing. Yes. Instead of identifying with our sicknesses and our doctor's reports and our issues of life and all of this and woe is me, we need to identify with the greater one who lives in us. And when he speaks and it stands fast, when you speak, it should stand fast. See, and many of us, there's kind of a gap between, well, I understand what you're saying, but that's way out there. No, it's right in here, but you just don't believe it yet. That's the problem. That's the problem. When Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, and the enemy came to him and says, if you be the Son of God. Obviously, the enemy was at the baptism, because that's where God said, this is my beloved Son. So the devil was there listening. So he has Jesus out in the wilderness all by himself. And he tempts him and he says, if you be the Son of God. I think he says that at least twice. And and there are three temptations: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And in each temptation, Jesus responds with, it is written. He didn't have to get into a big deal and work himself up and get into some kind of hyper faith or something like this. He didn't have to dance around. He didn't have to say, wait one minute while I work myself up. No, he very calmly just simply declared, it is written. And he did that three times, because the enemy tends to be persistent. So the enemy came back with another temptation and another temptation. And three times Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy, which is not where I usually go for my promises. But Jesus used Deuteronomy to defeat the devil in a face-to-face confrontation. Words were spoken that had been written. You can have faith in what is written. And you can declare what is written, and it carries the power and the life and the authority of God into that situation. It is written. Jesus is a word Lord. Amen. Think about you. What about you? James 4:7. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, submit to God, submit in part of that at least, is submit to the word of God. And how do you resist something? You don't just, you speak. If Jesus said it is written, what should you be taking as an example in your life when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? What should you be saying? It is written. It is written. It is written. How often? As many times as that comes against you, something comes against you. No, it is written. And then you might branch off into the different promises, different declarations, different truths that are a part of you. Folks, we've got to go from doctrine to dominion. It's got to become more than just good doctrine. And I'm all for good doctrine. I have a whole course called Sound Doctrine in third year. I love doctrine. But it's got to be translated into actually transforming you, changing you. It's good to read the Bible and renew your mind. But declaring what is written changes your life. Changes your life. And so we have got to get into this place where what is written becomes our life, and we are not afraid to stand up and speak it, not afraid to stand up and to declare, this thing be gone, I resist that, I come against this, whatever your situation might be. We'll get into more direct healing references here in a minute, but it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. God, and I have people also write me and say, don't we have an appointed day to die? No, it's appointed you will die, but you get to choose when. Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. We talk ourselves into an early grave, or you can talk yourself into, with long life I will satisfy you. So much of that is in the power of your tongue. How you speak, what you declare, what you don't say can be very damaging as well, because if the enemy is coming in you, coming against you, and you don't say anything, you don't resist, then what's going to happen? And you can't blame God because he's put that authority in your heart, in your mouth. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Jesus said to the enemy, it is written, and he fled. God speaks and calls things that are not as though they are. They appear. And we are God creatures made in his image, and we have been given this authority. We have been given the ability to speak. Dogs don't speak. Frogs don't speak. Bears don't speak. We speak. We're the only creatures that are made in the image of God that carry this blessed possession of creative words, of ruling and reigning words, of taking authority kinds of words. We get to do that. And yet in my own journey, I have found many times, and I tend to be a very quiet person. I've shared that before. I'm quiet. I used to be very timid and shy and all of that kind of thing, so that made it even worse. But now I'm still quiet. I'm not quite as timid and shy, but I'm still a quiet person. I have a quiet personality. My wife has a quiet personality. We talk once a week, if we have to. And, no, but I have to remind myself sometimes to fight back about some things. And I can just say, well, this will pass. Well, sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. And then I have to decide, okay, am I going to get proactive? Am I going to fight this thing? And I remember one time when I was fighting cancer back in 2020, 2021. And one day I just was in bed and I just felt this guilt of, Barry, you should be up, you should be fighting, you should be declaring, you should be doing all this stuff. And I tell half this story sometimes and I tell both halves other times. I'm going to tell both halves today. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Barry, you can stay right there and I still love you and you're still going to get well. And I thought, praise God. That's the first half of the story. Second half is he went on to say, or you can get up and make this thing go faster. And so I stayed in bed for about 5 or 10 minutes measuring my options. And I finally got up And I got up, and I was in a very weakened state, but for about 20 minutes, we have a large bedroom, and I was back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and karate chopping, and speaking, and yeah. I was on fire. Now, I could have stayed in bed, and God still loves me, and I'm still going to get well, but I could speed it up. I thought, okay, whatever it takes, I'm going to speed it up. Words have power. Jesus spoke words to resist the devil. We are to speak words to resist the devil. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he moves into Matthew 12:35, and he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Your healing is in your heart. If God lives in you, everything you need is in there. What are you bringing forth? And if you never talk, never speak, never say anything, and just think, well, this will pass and it'll get better. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the power to change circumstances is in your heart and in your mouth. Up to death and life, it says. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, which we can find in the Psalms. We also believe and therefore we speak. Believing and speaking have to go together. You can say you have faith, but faith without works is dead. And the first work we need to see from our faith is speaking, is words, is declaring. Getting on this thing and becoming proactive in your destiny, in your health, in your life, in whatever's going on in your life. We have authority to change it because we have the Word of God. We have what is written. We have what is written. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is going to speak. Now, what happens in the realm of silence? What happens when we don't speak? Silence is you giving the devil permission to steal, kill, and destroy. Silence is just backing away from the field of battle and saying, it's all yours, Satan. Go for it. When we don't speak, we are giving the enemy place in our life. When we don't declare, it is written, it is written, it is written. If we just sit back and say, well, I hope this passes. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Because your silence is allowing the enemy to come in and just destroy your life. You've been given words and you're not using them. And I'm speaking to me. Do you know there are religious orders that take vows of silence? Job done. Devil doesn't have to do anything. And then they go ahead and take another vow of poverty. As Andrew would say, how dumb can you be and still breathe? You know? The two things that God wants to invest in us, they take a vow away from it. I don't understand. Anyway, silence is the enemy's playground. Silence is you giving legal access into the circumstances of your life. You have been given words to resist the devil. Didn't it just say resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee? Meaning he comes. He comes. And then people say, well, how often do I have to speak? How often do I have to declare? So let me help you with this. As long as it takes. Here's one way to gauge it, one way to measure it. Any time when you go into silence, any time your symptoms begin to speak, you need to get back on the horse.
Yeah, that's good.
Any time doubt begins to enter, you need to get going again. Any time fear enters your heart, you need to start talking again. Any time something is discomforting you in some way, if you're being silent and the doubts and the fears and the symptoms start screaming out, then it's time to speak. Yep. Well, how long? Keep going until you have his peace. And the moment that peace leaves and the symptoms start coming back and all of it, you have to start speaking again. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, it is written, by his stripes, I am healed. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. He's forgiven all my iniquities. He's healed all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The word is medicine to my flesh, health to my flesh. Amen. And you start going down the long list of all the promises and you begin to declare and you say, it is written, it is written, it is written. You need to know what is written. Amen. How long do I do it? Do you have the victory? Well, I don't know. Well, let's be quiet for a minute. Are you afraid of the symptoms? Are you afraid of the doctor's reports? Well, yeah. Okay, start speaking again. You keep going until you get the victory. You keep going, as I've shared about the dog on the couch. If the dog's not supposed to be on the couch, and you get home and the dog's on the couch, well, how many times do I tell it to get off? Until it gets off. Some dogs get off right away, some dogs don't. They wait to see if you mean business. Some sicknesses leave right away, some sicknesses wait to see if you mean business. But what will people think? Who cares? What if they hear me? Amen. Don't be afraid, don't be silent, as God said to Paul. Speak, preach, let's go. We've got to declare. You ought to hear me in the car. I mean, you should have heard me this morning coming up the mountain. My goodness, when I opened the door, anything that was of the darkness had to jump out. And I was cutting loose. Because there's some stuff going on around my greater family and things that I'm done with. And then some physical nagging things, and they could say, well, Barry, it's just your age. Forget my age. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. I am on fire right now. Ride home with me in the car and you'll see the smoke and the flame, whole thing. I've had it with this persistent enemy, and I've realized that when I'm silent, he's active. When I quit, he starts again. And so I've got to be on guard. Don't you ever have times of peace? Yes, I have times of peace. I have times when nothing is talking to me from the negative world. Amen. But if I hear one peep from that world, I'm going back into action. It is written. I don't have to yell. Sorry for the lady that might be watching, but I can be quiet. I can say, it is written. In fact, sometimes that has more authority. Satan, it is written. You need to get this into your heart, what is written and who you are, what your authority is. Our authority flows from our identity. How many of you are a new creation? How many of you are created in righteousness? How many of you are the righteousness of God in Christ, seated with him in heavenly places, and you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You need to declare that a few times until you believe that. Most people don't talk because they don't believe who they are. Because they're dealing with guilt and condemnation. And if you only knew and all this, God already knew. He already gifted you the gift of righteousness. So just go ahead and take it. And begin to declare these things. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. If that makes you uncomfortable, say it 500 more times until it finally sinks in. Your declaration, your confession of these things doesn't move God. It moves you into the presence of God and out of the presence of darkness. It's not God that needs moving, it's us that needs moving. But it's speaking that's going to get the job done. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing. Is that the word of God? Is it written? Can you declare it? It is written, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Sickness, symptoms, it is written, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Cancer, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Amen. I am trampling. This was delegated authority. It now lives in us. It's not just delegated to like it was to the disciples. It's even enhanced. It's in us. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I will trample on every cancer cell. I will trample on every other thing going on. I will, in the name of Jesus, it is written. Get as worked up as you feel comfortable getting worked up, but don't just sit there and think about it. That doesn't get the job done. That's not how God created anything. No, he spoke. He spoke. Jesus didn't say, oh, Satan. It is written. Resist the devil. I have been through this where I realize you say, okay, I can do that for a day or two, and then on day three, I kind of forget. And day four, it's over. Not anymore. Not anymore. If I get a little kooky, I don't care. I'm going to keep, I believe in the word of God. I believe in the power of God's word. Amen. Enforce your healing. Who's in charge of your body? You or the devil? You are the doctor. I have a different message, but where I teach a doctor can be your servant, but he cannot be your Lord. Jesus is Lord, and you're going to have to take authority over your body. Doctors, they're working, they know what they're doing, what they know to do, and their limited thing, but man, Jesus is Lord. And you've got the word of God, and you've got the ability to speak the word of God, to resist sickness, to resist the devil. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. All the other armor is defensive, but that one is offensive. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. And if you look up and study the fiery darts, it's words that are spoken against you, whether they be words of people or words of the enemy or whatever. That's defensive, but you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is written. It is written. I'm not standing for this. I had one person write me a message when I was dealing with my long battle. Barry, you just need to get up and open the door and tell the devil to get out. I thought it was kind of funny at the time, but they were right. I need to get proactive. Even when you're bedridden, you can get proactive. I was doing other things from the bed. I was using my iPad to write messages and pray for people. They didn't know what I was going through, and they say, Barry, would you pray for me? Yeah. I was doing what I knew to do, doing what I could do. I was reading, I was studying, I was doing all that good stuff, and it blessed my heart, but I was too quiet. I was too quiet. I didn't get angry enough. I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've done this, but I wasn't doing it enough at that for that 1 year. And it's just a matter of you deciding how much are you going to put up with. I don't go to people, will you pray for me? If I ever say that to you, slap me. Don't go up to people and say, will you pray for me? Because I know what's going to happen. You're going to start telling them your alphabet of issues. I've got, and they start naming all these letters of stuff, and they think, I know what this is. I have no clue what this is. All right, I don't need to know that. You pray for you. Is anyone afflicted? Let him pray. Doesn't say let him come and, I'm not against the prayer thing, but if you come up here today for prayer for somebody, you come with something that is written. And ready to agree. Prayer ministers, you don't pray for anybody that doesn't come with a verse and say it is written. Let's agree. Let's change the dynamic here. We have this passive thing that we've done for years about, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? I've got 50 people praying for me. None of them have faith, but okay. Okay. Enough of this stuff. It's time to take our lives back from the darkness, but we've got to get stirred up. We've got to get stirred up. Mark 11:22-23. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. I think the more literal would be have God's faith. I like that better. Because what it goes on to describe isn't human faith, it's God's faith. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Those are the qualifications right there. Whoever doesn't doubt and whoever says. That's it. And whoever can be you and should be. Whoever says to this sickness, this cancer, this diabetes, this whatever, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. How often? Well, if after you say that, more symptoms start yelling at you and more fear comes against you, then do it again. And after you do it again, if more fear and symptoms come talking to you, do it again. And do it again. And do it again. until you finally are convinced. We're not convincing God, it's convincing you that this thing is done. You have the authority. Jesus didn't say, don't try this at home. This is just for me. I'm the Son of God. No, whoever says to the mountain, praise God. Am I talking too loud? I'm sorry. Jesus spoke. Jesus healed the sick with his word. Jesus cast out demons with his word. Jesus stilled the storm with his word. Jesus raised the dead with his word. Jesus rebuked the devil with his word. And why are we so quiet? Words are how things get done. Words are how we have dominion over the earth, how you have dominion over your circumstances, how you have dominion over your physical body. Words carry the very spirit, carry the very life of God, the word of God. That's why we use the word of God, because it's God carrying the very nature, his very nature, into whatever is ailing you. I speak to every cell of my body that the Spirit of God is quickening my mortal body. And it doesn't mean my dead body. It means this one. It's mortal, but it's being quickened by the Holy Spirit. Every cell of my body, it is written, my every cell of my body is pulsating with the presence of the Spirit of God. It's being restored. If need be, it's being recreated. I speak to every part of my body. I'm doing this all the time now, because I'm just not going to become an old, decrepit old man and just wither away. I refuse. Amen. I refuse. Yeah. But I've got to speak. I can make up my mind, but then I've got to do it. Yeah. Okay? And you have to do it as well. Amen. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Did you know that he is the priest of what comes out of your mouth? And most of us don't give him much to work with. He can't be a priest of your complaining, your moaning, your groaning, your talking about how bad it is, giving the alphabet of your diseases to everybody. He can't be the priest of that. He's the priest of a positive confession. He's the priest of his word coming out of your mouth. He oversees his word. He watches over his word to perform it, not your word, meaning not your carnal word of doubt and unbelief, but your words of faith that are birthed out of the Holy Spirit living in you, the fire of God inside of you. You've had enough of this, and you begin to declare, it is written, by his stripes I am healed. Now he's the priest of that. He's ministering to that. His word is health to my flesh. He's ministering to that. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. He's ministering to that. Anything that's his word, that's what he's the priest of, that confession. But there's another priest for the other stuff we say. And when we say the dumb stuff, oh, woe is me, this is never going to get better, it's genetic, I've had it all my life, blah, 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 there's somebody else working on that. I don't think you want that in your life. Does this work for everything? Absolutely, because it created everything. Sin messed stuff up, but sin got nailed to the cross. We're not dealing with something where we're in a struggle. The only struggle is up here and in here. We're not struggling with the devil. We're just resisting him, and he will flee. But you got to say something. And if a doubt comes to your mind, well, but I know I said that, but I still feel, forget that. Say it again. Say it again. As many times until you finally get breakthrough and you realize, okay, this is a done deal. But that doesn't mean you might not want to keep saying it. Just to remind your spirit you're in the place of victory. Remind yourself. And keep taking ground. Keep fighting. Praise God, he's the high priest of our confession. What is our confession? Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So you can get that far with your heart. You can believe unto righteousness. But with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In the Greek, that word is soteria, but the verse before the salvation word is sozo. They're used interchangeably, and they cover the full spectrum of your need. Salvation isn't just, forgiveness. Salvation is every form of redemption, spirit, soul, and body, healing, protection, provision, everything. And how do you get there? You can get to righteousness by just believing, but you can't get to salvation without talking. Confession is made unto. If something is unto, then it's over there and I have to get unto it. How do I get there? Confession is made unto. Is this making sense? Is that what I declare from my heart of faith, by his stripes I was healed, is taking me unto that healing. That God supplies all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, it is written, that is taking me unto that reality. Some of us are farther from some things than other, but what the way you get unto it is by confessing the word of God, by declaring the word of God. He's the high priest of your confession. Amen. There's a lot of people that believe unto righteousness, but they're just being beaten here, hither and thither and to and fro by the devil, and they don't know why God won't bless them. It's because nothing's coming out of their mouth to get them unto the blessing. We're gonna have to get more active. And if I'm not talking to anybody, I'm talking to me. All right? So that's good enough. We've got to get proactive in declaring the word of God. To declare the word of God, you got to know the word of God. We've got to be so convinced of the power of God's word that this isn't just a book with a dead God, as I talked about at the beginning. I feel sorry for some people that we got a book but no God behind it. Well, my God lives in it, on it, through it, and in me. And when that word is in my heart and in my mouth, it carries the same authority that it does when God spoke it. Do you believe that? See, it's hard to get people to believe this stuff. Do you believe the word in your mouth has the same authority as the word in God's mouth? You got to get to that place. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. It is written, I believe, therefore I speak. And then I just start adding on to it all the different verses and all the different declarations about the word of God, the love of God, the blessings of God, the favor of God, the healing power of God, and just keep going. And if you don't know them by memory, write them down, copy and paste, whatever, to get a list of stuff, and then just carry it around with you and declare, declare, declare. Because what you're doing is not only renewing your mind, you're renewing your whole being. You're getting your whole inner man in tune with God. And you're keeping the enemy at bay, because if you're talking, he can't. It's when you shut up that he might come back. And that's where you got to crank it up again. No, I'm not listening to that symptom. I'm not listening to that pain. I'm not listening to that doctor's report. I'm not listening to this, to that, the other, whatever's coming against you. By his stripes, I am healed. His word has delivered me, healed me, delivered me from all of my destructions. How long do I have to say it? Please don't ask me that again. Okay. Until it's over. Until you're convinced, until you know, and the symptoms will leave, the symptoms will finally realize you mean business. And they have to go. If you don't believe they have to go, then you've already lost the battle. You've got to believe things have got to bow the knee to the name of Jesus and the word of God. Anything, everything has to bow the knee to the faith that's in your heart. But you've got to have the faith in your heart that you know, that you know, that you know. Amen. Psalm 107, verse 2. We doing okay?
Yes.
Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say so.
Amen.
How many redeemed are in the room? Let's say it. I am redeemed. I am redeemed from the curse of sickness. Well, that was weak. I'm serious about this. I am redeemed from the curse of sickness. No sickness can dwell in my body. Praise God. By his stripes, I was healed. I'll just do it in here and then go home and forget. That's the tendency. Boy, that was a good message. And by Friday, nothing. No, this has got to be your life, your routine. You got to be speaking all the time. If you're in a public place and a doubt comes against you, then you can whisper it out loud. I walk through the halls, by his stripes I am healed, by his stripes I am healed. I'm still talking. All right? It's just, it's got to become a lifestyle where you are exercising dominion over your health, over your life, over your situations. We have been given dominion in this earth. We are called, Romans 5:17, to reign in life. You can't do that without words. You can be a general in the army, but if you never speak, the soldiers never know what to do. You've got to say something. We've got angels waiting to minister. What are they waiting on? Something to come out of your mouth that's worthwhile. Our high priest is waiting for something to come out that he can agree with. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Why does he say mouth? Why does he say this book of the law shall not depart from your mind? He says mouth. This seems to be important. God knew what it was going to take to get the children of Israel into the promised land and for them to have victory. He knew what it was going to take. They can't just be thinking about it. Well, God loves me. It'll work out. Whatever will be, will be. No, you've already lost. This word of, and in our case, this word of the new covenant of promises, of grace, of love, of power, of authority shall not depart from your mouth. Amen. Praise God. We could move into the whole subject, and I'm not going to do that now. If praise and thanksgiving is another way to fill your mouth. Praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 22:3 says he is enthroned on the praises of his people, of Israel. What that means is his government resides in your praise. His will is released through your praise. Think about that a second. That the things you want to happen, the government of God, he is enthroned in your praise, and if there is no praise, he's not there. In the sense that I'm talking, the practical of him getting his will done in you and through you. There's got to be a life of praise and thanksgiving. That's another way to fill your mouth. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, which means what? It means there's going to be resistance to this. The enemy wants you to waver, wants you to give up, wants you to say, well, I tried that for 2 days. 2 days? No, this is a lifestyle. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You got to hold fast. If we're being told to hold fast, it means there's going to be something trying to come against us from holding on. But you've got to say, no, it is written. It is written. It is written. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. What if he comes back? Do it again. But he keeps coming back. Keep doing it. Yes. Establish who's in charge. You've got all the authority. You're seated with him in heavenly places. The devil's nothing. Yep. Unless you're afraid of him and think he's something. Amen. Amen. Is anybody getting stirred up? Yes. When you speak, you move from passivity to authority. You become proactive when you speak. When you speak, the word, the light of the word scatters the darkness. Speaking fights passivity. I have to do this because I, like I said, I can get quiet. But then if I start getting doubts or I start getting, what about this pain or this thing? No, okay, time to speak. I'm not going to entertain that stuff anymore. And if my silence is inviting that kind of thing, no, then I'm not going to be silent. And I'll dance around the room as long as I have to. Praise God. Maybe not dance, but I will move. Okay. Silence is spiritual permission for the enemy to move in. God is enthroned on your praises. If there's no praises but a lot of complaining, who just moved in? All right? Stop the complaining. Stop sharing. Stop making sure everybody knows what's wrong with you. Boy, that bothers me. I've had people come and show me their pictures of their surgeries. No, get thee behind me. I don't want to see that. That's not faith. You're just wanting sympathy. This isn't a sympathy meeting. This is a healing meeting. Amen. You've got to come with something that is written. What's written? What's in your heart? What are you declaring? Then come up front. Until you got something, stay in your seat. Amen. Resist the devil. Resistance is spoken. The spirit world responds to the spoken word, not to the thinking word. We've got to declare. We've got to speak. Faith speaks. It awakens your identity in Christ. You remember who you are. You remember that you've been put on this earth to have dominion, to reign, and you can't do it without words, and you can't do it if you don't believe who you are in Christ. And if you're not sure, and if you're guilty, and if I don't think I'm worthy. No, you're not. Okay, let's get over that and move on to the gift of righteousness. Now you are, and now you can speak. Praise God. Amen. I'm getting some looks. Okay. I'm going to finish up here. Let's go to Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. How many of you believe that you are called to be God's voice for God's word in this world?
Yes.
You, your voice.
Yes.
Okay, let's listen. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now put you in there, that's you. I want to see if you really believe this. Your word. So shall my word, Barry, be that goes forth from my mouth, the mouth of Barry. It shall not return to Barry void. Are you that convinced? But it shall accomplish what I please, whatever I desire in my heart, whatever mountain I speak to, because God lives in me, and it is written. All right? But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's us, because God lives in us, and he's commissioned us to have rulership, dominion, and to heal the sick, including ourselves. And we do it with words. We do it with the authority of God's word. It is written. That's got to mean something to you before you can start doing this. Do you believe what is written? It's written for you to be changed, transformed, empowered, and then give it and establish it in the lives of those around you. You've got to get it going in your own heart first, your own mouth, your own life. It is written. It is written. If something comes into your, you know, a doubt comes, no, it is written. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. If fear comes into you, same thing. If symptoms start talking to you, no, by his stripes I am healed. What if I have to do it all day? Then do it all day. Don't ask silly questions anymore. Okay, we got this. All right, stand up. I want to pray with you. Praise God. How many people are here to get healed right now? You believe the word of God is to heal you right now. If you didn't come expecting to get healed, why did you come? All right, let's get healed. Let's establish something in the world of the spirit, and don't worry about symptoms right now. Get it in your heart. Some of you are going to see symptoms disappear right now. Some of you, it might take a day or two. I don't know. But we're going to establish it by the word of God because it is written. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word because it is true. Like silver purified 7 times, your word, you cannot lie. You and your word are one. You have exalted your name above your word. Or your word, excuse me, above your name. And Father, we take that word now, and it is in our hearts. There is a fire burning in our hearts now of that which, who we are, our identity, our dominion, our authority, and our faith is going to speak. And we declare, and declare with me right now, it is written, by your stripes we are healed. Amen. Praise God. Done deal. Done deal. Hallelujah. Your word is health to our flesh. You sent your word and have healed us. and delivered us from our destructions. We are delivered. We are delivered. We are healed. We are filled with the Spirit of God that is quickening our mortal bodies. Keep up if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. But praise God, we are going to walk in victory. We are walking in health. We are walking with the power of God in our mouths, in our hearts. We are bringing forth good things from the treasure in our hearts because it is written. And we are resisting the devil in the name of Jesus. We are resisting every symptom, every sickness, every word spoken against us. Be gone in the name of Jesus. We take authority over anything in this room that is not of God, whether it's a cancer cell, whether it's any other kind of disease, any weakness, anything out of order in any part of our bodies from our head to our toes. No, we take authority now in Jesus' name. You must be gone. We're establishing the dominion of Christ in our physical bodies. Now, in Jesus' name, we are declaring that we receive right now healing, health, strength, and every, praise God, in every cell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. If you run out of things to say, just pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have chosen us to be light and salt in this earth, to be your voice, to show the victory. Oh, Father, we don't want to be a church full of miserable, sick people, but we want to be the redeemed and say so. And demonstrate to the world around us the goodness of God in our health, in our healing, in our long, prosperous lives. It is written, with long life you will satisfy us. Praise God. I claim long life. No sickness. No weakness. Praise God. Every part of our bodies throbbing with the life of God. Coming into position, into whatever they need to be in, to be healed, to be absolutely healthy. We declare it. We receive it, Father. We give you all the glory. Praise God, we are blessed, and we declare that. It is written, we are blessed with every blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you.